This is CliffCentral.com. 360 Biz on CliffCentral.com.
Thank you so much for tuning in for another amazing installment of 360 Biz. I'm rolling solo today. Well, not so much. I'm with the beautiful Teho. We're in studio today. Teboho is not here with us, but if you run into him wherever he is, just give him a high five. He's a very cool guy. I hope you guys are having an awesome December. We're wrapping up for the year, I think. Is this the last show? This is the last show. So this is the last show. Manju gains Ireland, Maskinakola. Oh, so when you plan when we are not when we won't be around next week, but we're very excited about the season. And as part of the excitement, I mean, December is a time where we go out, we are with family. So we're speaking to two gentlemen who are in studio today. We're going to be, who are going to greet you a little bit later on and tell you about who they are and what they do. Mr. George, I pronounced it correctly, right?
That's right.
Mr. George and Mr. Debato, who are going to engage us on the different initiatives and activities that they get up to. The topic for today is the business of entertainment. Entertainment is an activity, which provides diversion or permits people to amuse themselves in their leisure time and may also provide fun, enjoyment, and laughter. People may create their own entertainment, such as when they spontaneously invent a game, participate actively in an activity that they find entertaining, such as when they play a sort of sport or a hobby, or consume an entertainment product passively, such as when they attend performance. How often do you go out?
Well, December I've been going out, hey?
Really?
Yeah. I think it's been a long year, and it's been we've worked hard this entire year. So sometimes you just owe it to yourself to just have a bit of fun, you know, let your hair down. So I've been doing it.
So a lot of entrepreneurs talk about, it's all about the hustle, it's the grind, there's no time to be having fun. What do you think about that?
No. Yeah, like you have to balance. There has to be time for work. There has to be time for leisure. There has to be time for family. You know, you must find a balance in everything. And I think entrepreneurs do it well because most entrepreneurs know how to manage their time. So you can't work hard and not play hard.
Yeah, and I mean, I find it so particularly interesting. I mean, now you've got entertainers driving Bentleys and traveling across the world that are South African, and I find that to be so amazing. What do you think of the growth in the entertainment space?
I think the entertainment, I actually started my career in entertainment.
Really?
Yeah.
As what?
Yeah, in PR.
Really?
Kalawa, I'm telling you.
Nice.
And I think like it's such an industry that's full of so much potential, but I also think at times it lacks some business knowledge or some business skills. But then it's got so much money because people want to spend money, and people want to spend money on entertainment. And I think our guest today will tell me if I'm right or wrong, but it's a business where people don't mind spending $5,000 in one night. And it's a business where people want to spend that money because, you know, entertainment and leisure is limited at times.
Sure. Wow. So in South Africa today, we have seen the vast growth within the industry, with many patrons prepared to pay huge amounts of money in order to be entertained. The business often in some cases lacks growth due to management skills and business knowledge. It can also be one of the most profitable business one can get into. Now, the entertainment space covers your film, your comedy, your music, your musical theater. There's performing arts. There's a word I don't even know how to pronounce it. Vadoué. What is that?
I don't know.
But guys, we're talking about the entertainment business. So if you know a pal, if you know a friend, if you know a sister or a cousin who's all about the entertainment business, tune into the show because it's going to be very informative. I am with two amazing entrepreneurs who are in studio today who have found their feet in the entertainment business and are thriving in that particular space. So I'm going to give them opportunity now to introduce themselves and what they do.
Afternoon, everybody. My name is Debato Givit. I'm a co-founder of Cooler Boxing Day, and we throw a party, literally. Yeah. I'm from a place called Atridgeville in the west of Pretoria, where everybody used to come from 26 December when we were kids, and that kind of just fell off, but people kept coming. So we decided to start having a little jam at my house, and now we're in a stadium.
Sure. Yeah, it's amazing. So we're going to unpack that a little bit later on. Sir?
Hi, my name is George. I'm the owner of Capital and Niche. Opened up Capital 2001. Been there for 15 years. It's been a nice journey. It's all about music. It's all about an environment, people to come relax, have a place to go to. That's me. Yeah, it's us.
So, Tebatso, man, you're serving us half the story. So, you started at your house. This thing, you know, it's at a stadium. I mean, I'm assuming the stadium is about 10, 15, 30,000 people. How big was your house, Baba? Because you're saying it like it's such an easy thing.
Listen, man, we've been doing this for about 9 years. So, it didn't start at the numbers that we get now, you know. At first, it was like 50 to 100 people. It was free. There was just a DJ there and a sound system. And we didn't book any artists or anything like that. We didn't even know that people were booking artists and things like that. So, yeah. And then next morning on the 27th, we were just like irritated because we had to clean up, you know.
Yeah.
And we didn't have any money to pay anybody to clean up. So, yeah. And then we moved up the next year to the cricket ground up the road. And then 500 people came and paid $30. And we made a lot of money, I remember.
When was this? What year was this?
It was about 2008.
Sure, that's a lot of money.
Yeah. We made some money then, and then, yeah, man, I bought myself a watch, I remember.
Nice. Sure.
Yeah, man, so then we kept growing year and year. It was, for a while, it was about 100% growth rate every year, you know? Went from 500 to 1,000, 1,000 to 2,000, 2,000 to 4,000. And now we did about 10,000 last year, but I think that's where we're capping it, man. Otherwise, it gets messy.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, you guys are double-digit growth guys, so you don't think next year you guys are going to, or this current, in the next couple of days, you guys are going to do 20,000?
No, we're just going to cap it at 10,000 and just make it a more quality event, you know.
Nice.
The experience for, we don't want people standing next to each other like sardines, you know.
And how important is it, what you just mentioned now? Because I feel like we, as individuals, especially if you've got something going, you want to grow it. It's all about the numbers going big and going big. And oftentimes you find that it dilutes. You know, how important is it for one to know when to cap?
It's very important because, I mean, the quality of a brand is to the customer what they experience on that day specifically. So if you force issues and you expect to get people in there packed in like sardines and there's no quality, what tells you that that customer will come back next year? Mm. You know what I mean? Mm. So it's better to say, to give out a full-on experience. We've always been about the experience. So that's what we keep working on and bettering year and year, you know? More than anything, it's about the customer more than us and the profits.
Yeah, now that's amazing. So you say that you often refer to it as you are a co-founder. So how many guys did you start this with, or how many ladies did you start this with?
Listen, man, it was actually quite funny. Like, so there used to be a park where in Pretoria, and there were jazz for eons of years, for years and years. Then the jazz festival stopped, but people kept flocking. Then there was no security or whatsoever at that event. So my friends decided, no, let's go chill at your house because it's close to the park. So they still get the experience of the park, but they're there. Then I had a friend, he was a DJ, and I had a friend who had sound. And I said, let's make it come together. And then we called it Cooler Boxing Day. And then from there on, it's history, man.
Sure, that's amazing, eh?
Yeah.
That's amazing. So, George, tell us a little bit about your entrepreneurial journey.
All right. So, I used to import records, vinyls to South Africa from my house. And eventually I was trying to look for a venue. I always wanted to put something together, which was something different. So, I've opened up this place in 2011, which was called Capital. It was a hairdresser, and we did vinyls, and we had two floors. Rudy was downstairs, which we did the hip-hop in the house, and then upstairs we did more of the trance and the funk. So it was a place where you used to come through, listen to vinyls, and the ladies could go and do their hairs, and we had food. I mean, I remember I had to bring everything from home. We started there from nothing, and we just build it up and build it up. And then eventually in the evenings we used to open up, And I used to sit around and play music in a very loungy. And yeah, a couple of African culture came inside and some white Africans came through as well. And they couldn't feel it. So I think, yeah, I could see a couple of guys picked up the phone and said, wow, come and have a look at this place. Come try it out. And that's it. You know, from there, it just got so crazy where I used to stand outside the door where we used to come out. I used to come out with ideas where that you had to have a female to come inside, you know, so we had couples, you know, because it just got too out of hand. And yeah, we had so much fun in there. I mean, the guys would stand there, come on, man. We came here to meet ladies, but it was so nice because the guys used to get ladies outside and walk in. And it was a nice balance, you know. It was just enough girls, enough guys. But, oh, wow. Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, was this just a random idea to try and get the gent to come with the lady, or rather have a couple vibe? Or was it more strategic, or was it just random?
It was just more to have that kind of balance where ladies would not be, you know, disturbed all the time, and you know, it would be just enough people for everyone, you know. So it was just, you know, it was balanced.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it was.
And I mean, the passion for music, or in this particular case, for you to even think of collecting vinyls, where did that spark from?
I've been in the music scene. I've been playing for years. I mean, I remember I used to go play with tapes, you know. The music's always been inside me, I think. And I would do anything for music. I would go anywhere for music. So we used to have a record store called Atrax. So we used to import vinyls from all over the world.
And then, I mean, according to you, when you look at the music, or rather the growth of the entertainment landscape in this country, what do you think?
Wow, that's what I say. I mean, it's so beautiful. I don't even know what to sing about, but the soul and the sounds are just amazing. It's just, I mean, yeah, I just feel it so bad.
So, Tibbetts, I mean, of all the, how many editions of the Cooler Boxing Day have you had now?
We've had 8. This is the 9th one.
Oh, which one stands out for you?
It was about the, I think it was the 5th or the 6th one. We had Ricky Rick there. And the guy jumped off stage and told the crowd to come through. They broke the barricades flat out, and it was just packed in there.
Yeah.
You couldn't see who was security. You couldn't see who was what. And nothing happened, but it was just a jam. Like, everybody was just having fun, and it started raining as that happened.
Yeah.
And people just stayed and danced in the rain.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, no injuries, nothing.
Nothing.
That's amazing, though. Hey?
Nothing.
And I think I find it so interesting when you have a performing artist engage the crowd like that, because you find that people are there to feel you, they feel your energy. And I mean, would I be in a great position to ask you who's your favorite artist?
My favorite artist right now, I think AKA.
Really?
Stands out.
Yeah. Really?
Yes, so really, is there something that you want to say?
Look, away from all the other stuff, his music is great.
George, who's your favorite artist?
Yeah, the same, man.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Super Mega.
Yeah. Wow.
I enjoyed that.
He's my favorite artist as well.
Wow, guys. Okay, I'm a Casper fan.
Yeah, but it doesn't necessarily have to be Casper or AKA, you know. We could listen to both, but I find that the other gen's quality of music is a bit different. So what can people expect 26 December 2017?
So this year is it's very big. We've got Casper.
Nice.
We've got Black Motion, got Shekinah, we've got Aries, Pencil, and Zing Master. That's their hometown, and yeah, it's gonna be a jump. Eh? We've got Tebe as well for the Kwaito.
Tebe, yeah, are you serious?
Yeah,
Bulabut. Wow, man, wow. So, I mean, you touched on something there that I think it's not to mess up their names, Pencil and
Zing Master. Yeah,
are they from that particular area, Atteridgeville?
They're from Atteridgeville, but they're blowing up pretty well. Their music is all over now. It's all, it's all over TV, the video's out. I think they even signed to one of the big record labels recently.
And I mean, what does it mean to you as an event promoter and organizer in your own hometown to be creating a platform for people in your own hometown?
It's still so surreal. Like, you go on stage at about 7 o'clock at night and you can just see people and they're just having fun. It's like you can't explain it in words. It's so, it's amazing. It's like an experience, like seeing a seventh wonder of the world every year.
So, George, I mean, what was your highest moment, I mean, with the capital?
Look, people having fun, you know, coming to a different place and experience something different.
And I mean, when you look at all these different hangout spots, what makes yours different?
Look, the way when I design it and what we cater for is that we cater for a crowd where they always say, where can we go? You know, it's like too young or just too wild. You know, that's what Niche is about. It's a place where couples or ladies want to get together, and it's just comfortable. You go there, you can have a good conversation. I mean, we're very strict at the age group. We're 24 upwards at the door. So that's mean, yeah, if you think you don't have a place where to go, try us out, because you can have a good conversation, or you can just sit down with your partner and just enjoy the evening where you feel comfortable and you not feel out of place, where you're thinking, well, I'm getting too old for this.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, yeah.
So oftentimes when we interviewing guests, we also, you know, try to delve as much as possible into where did it go wrong, you know, or what moments did you, or what moments were your lows? Because venturing out as an entrepreneur, or venturing out to build your own brand, sometimes gets chaotic, and sometimes gets congested by a lot of things, policies, bylaws, a lot of things that you wouldn't expect. So what were your lows, if you ever had any?
Look, I mean, I knew exactly what capital was all about, and I knew exactly what I wanted to do, and that's what I did all the time. And that's why I went for years and years. And then I got involved with another business, and I know my first mistake that I did an event with, I think it was Tolly B, it was called The Foolish Thursday, which was, it was an all different crowd, you know, and my customer were running out there, what's going on? Because I never did event with promoters or anything like that. I mean, I just ran capital the way I saw it. It's just, you came inside, you know exactly what you're going to have in the evening. And you learn from your mistakes, you know. Foolish Thursday, you know, was a nice one. But I just made a little hole. And then obviously, once again, you know, I got involved with another business, so I couldn't be there all the time. And so that was a little mistake we did. And that's why we closed Capital down eventually. And now we just reopened Niche, which has been there for, I think, 2.5 years, going for 3. And we're just moving on.
So, I mean, is this the only branch, the one in Joburg, or are you guys looking at replicating it into other cities?
No, not at all. I mean, think, to do something like that, you got to have that personal kind of touch, you know. So I think that's where I see it. And it's very difficult to do that somewhere else, because the person might not see what you see. You know, that goes from servers, music, and everything that goes into, you know, that kind of business, yeah.
So, I mean, because you were collecting vinyls, I mean, how did the move to digital effect thing,
did it affect it at all? I think that would be the first question.
I just stopped playing. I mean, I used to play everywhere. I mean, I love music, and I still do. And the thing was that, time to go there and find the music. And I stopped, when vinyls, actually when all the record stopped closed down and digital just took over. You know, I mean, I always used to say that we used to pick music for South Africa. So when a DJ used to play, is that we already chose the music for them to play. Now, if you have a look, the guys choose their own kind of music. They can play anything they want. So when that happens, I stopped, and I actually started about, maybe 9 months ago. And I'm going, wow, why did I stop? I mean, now the digital world is so beautiful. I mean, you can buy music at any time. You can put it in a basket and see if tomorrow if you still want it or not. I mean, usually you used to go and buy the vinyls, and that's it. Once you bought it, you had no choice. You had to pay for it.
I mean, I'm going to come back to that. But here's a question I want to throw to both the gentlemen. And I'll start with you, Debat. So you've got DJs on the day, right? And let's say you're doing an event and you've got DJs on the day. And do they know not to play the music that the other is going to play? Or have you ever had a situation where the guy is literally playing almost a copy, a playlist of what the other guy played?
Look, man, the guys are trying to shine. You know, you must remember that as much as we do have the big artists, the bulk is local. So they're all trying to get on, and we always try to differentiate through genre and through different types of DJs as well. So a deep house DJ and a commercial house DJ, commercial hip-hop DJ and loungy sort of hip-hop DJ and stuff, to avoid the repeat of tracks. But my man, you cannot. It happens. It happens. Like you said, they pick their own music, and they're very, DJs are very protective of their space, which is their music, you know. But we try and show them that, you know, the crowd can't hear a song, the same song 5 times. You know, it might be hot now, but try be different. They won't remember you if you played for the fifth time.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I mean, George, just from your perspective, I don't know if you touched on it already, but, you know, Capital was a very big place. It was a buzzing place. What led to it closing down? Or did you just wake up one morning and feel, I just need some breathing space?
What do you mean, why we closed it down? No, the reason, like I said to you, we closed it down is because, I did a couple of changes, and those changes weren't, you know, suitable to the venue. And I think... and then I decided, well, let me just close it down, rebrand it, and just start Niche, which obviously it's the same thing as we started Capital. And yeah.
So, I mean, to someone out there who's listening in on the show and they're very interested in opening a club, what would your advice be?
Look, they got to love, first of all, you know, everything, you know, from the music to the service to, you know, the visual, to see what people like and, you know, they're comfortable, make it cozy, make it home. So for them to open up something like that, I think, you know, obviously there's all different places, you know, you open, you know, a nightclub for that reason or you open up for this reason. But the most of it's love, I think.
Yeah. So Tibato, tell me, so the whole year, what do you guys get up to as partners, as a business?
Well, we all have other businesses personally, but we plan it.
Really?
Yeah, like you spoke, there's a lot of red tape, you know, there's a lot of applications with the city and Metro Police and all of that. So through the year, we're doing that. And then later in the year, we're just implementing mostly.
Yeah. I know I once did an event and I almost got thrown off by municipal bylaws. What's that one thing that you were just having a job putting this event together and then red tape just showed up?
No bottles.
Really?
No bottles, yeah. In the crowd, they don't allow bottles anymore. So it's like the crowd, we allow cooler bags in our event. But now they just have to come with cans, put your whiskey in a 2-liter bottle.
Really?
Or put your champagne in a 2-liter bottle.
And I mean, what was the response like from the people?
At first, ticket sales went down. But closer to the day of the event, people just realized, oh, we're going to sit at home on the 26th.
No, I have to say, because I live in Atteridgeville and I missed it last year, and I don't even live far from the stadium, you know. So it's like the FOMO that hits you on the day, because there's fire lighters in the evening and the music and everything. It's like the whole township is just a vibe, you know. You want to be there, and then people just end up buying tickets at the last minute, like on the day. And I'm sure this year it's going to be an issue because your tickets are almost sold out.
Yeah. And the one I kept it at 10,000.
It's gonna be an issue. I can foresee it. We've sold 87% of the tickets.
Sure, that's
so. It's
sold out already.
I'm not ready for that headache.
Nah, it's sold out. So I mean, Tejo, what has your experience been of? I know you've been to the Capitol, and I know also that you've also been to the Boxing Day. What has your experience been?
I haven't been to both.
I went really?
No, I've been to the Boxing Day when it was still very small. Kula Boxing Day, like Debato said, it was still, you know, nothing major. But Capital, like, I'd love to go to Niche. I always pass it, you know, in Rosebank, and I always say it looks so beautiful from the outside. You know, it looks so Niche, actually. You know, so I've always wanted to go, and I actually wanted to ask that. Is it like a club vibe, or is it, you know, a place where you can also go after work and have drinks and dinner with friends and listen to some good music?
Yeah, look, it's not a club at all. I mean, we don't charge people at the door. It's more of a place to hang around. So we do open up in the afternoon from 3. So you can come after drinks, after work. We do serve food. And, you know, you don't have to get up and throw your hands up in there, you know, if you have a couple of drinks you might do later on. But people do their own thing, and that's what's so nice. It's just you don't have to get up and dance. So you can be comfortable by doing what you want to do, which is great. Yeah,
we are so there. Kula, both places, like, we are definitely there.
Nah, I definitely wasn't gonna do anything 26, but I know I'm gonna come, and I'm gonna massage him after the show so that he can let loose with at least one or two spots for me to come there on the day. So I mean, so we've got someone here who's sending a shout out to you, Tibato. He says his name is Kev. It says, nice one, Biggie.
Yeah.
So shout out to Kev. Thank you for joining in on the show. So guys, we're going to break out for a couple of seconds, and then we're going to jump more into the entertainment business. That was a new jam by Tresor featuring Huma Sigela. What a legend, man. The name of the song is Midnight Sun. I almost said Midnight Stereo. it's the jam that is playing everywhere. But we are still in studio with George and Tebatso, and I'm still riding with my girl, Teho. So guys, I mean, Tebatso, man, what can I really expect? What can people expect when they come there? I know I'm going to be there, so what can we expect?
You know, English runs away sometimes. So,
anything, even in Zulu, Tswana, whatever.
I like to say an explosion of an experience.
Nice.
From start to finish, from the girls, they always come out really strong.
What do you mean, the girls?
Beautiful.
He means the girls.
What do you mean, the girls?
The girls. These people come for the girls.
Oh,
they want to buy champagne these days. the fireworks display, we've got a good one going on. And the rest is just the performances, man. Everybody gives their all, everybody gives their heart out, and it becomes just amazing, man.
Sure.
I wish I could go into the crowd and not work the whole day and just
sit.
Have fun.
But I mean, how do you feel normally after that? So you never get a moment to just sit back and listen to the music and jump up and down with all the other people?
In small pockets, and then the radio comes in, problem at the gate, and then you gotta run, and then radio comes in, no ice at the bar.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So in pockets, in small pockets, you get to see how people are living their life on the 26th. And I guess you go on social media as well, and you see people are tweeting, taking selfies, enjoying themselves, you know.
And I mean, do you still suffer from the development? Come on, man, some VIP, man.
That will never stop. That will never stop. I just always tell people that, hey, man, my wife bought 2 tickets. What you doing? My sister bought 2 tickets.
Yeah.
What you doing? You know? But my social media inbox is flooded. My phone has been ringing. You know, sometimes you see a number that you don't know. You was like, hey, should I take it?
I'll take it on the 27th.
Should I take it? And then you answer someone from the city. And she's like, I almost didn't take it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So it's very tough, but, you know, people always look for a free thing. And I don't think it's fair sometimes, but what can you do, man? You know, you're always the bad guy, but at the end of the day, it's a business, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
So as people generally, we must just support each other.
Yeah.
Because if I go to your butchery, and say go to the corner and say, hey, man, can you give me more meat? You know, it's the same thing. It's the same principle. So it's one of those. If you want to come out, you know, pay the Jews.
Yeah. I mean, would you then say that the immediate community, Attridgeville, has been supportive? Because what you get from a lot of guys is that a prophet is not appreciated in his own home. And you guys have created this amazing and very powerful platform that has grown over a period of 8 years. Do you feel like the people are supportive?
Look, the people are beyond supportive, you know. And it's, you can see it. They own it. They feel that it's their pride and joy in the township, and they come out in their numbers. And you know, the first time that I realized that we're doing something good is when I looked at the pictures after the event, and I didn't see anybody I know in the pictures of the event. And I was like, okay, nice. We're doing something right, you know.
Nice.
But yeah, they are very supportive. I mean, we do sell a lot of tickets out of Pretoria. I mean, Limpopo, Cape Town, Durban as well, you know. But the bulk is always local people, Pretoria people, Attridgeville people, you know.
So tell me a little bit about your first booking experience, booking a big artist. How was that?
It was actually quite smooth, I think. The first artist we booked was Lulo Cafe. That's the first time we ever said, we're going to put an artist on a poster. And that's probably like maybe 8 years ago or so. And he came out, and he was big then, and all the girls lined up outside his car, tried to, you know, get a picture, you know. It was one of those. And then kept going and going, and these guys' prices kept going as well, these artists. But yeah, now it's there's a little system that that goes on with from my team and on booking artists. But Lulo Cafe was he showed up.
Nice. Yeah.
So next year's the 10th one. I want to bring most of the artists that performed at Cooler Boxing Day back.
Mm. No, man, that's very nice. And I mean, what are the plans really for 2018 Cooler Boxing Day? I mean, you guys are capping it at 10,000. We're gonna be crying about that. So, are you guys planning on making it bigger or?
Look, the plan is just to enhance more and more on the experience, and to make people more quicker to buy tickets and say, I've got a ticket, you know, I'm going to Cooler Boxing Day. And the rest is history. I'd love to say I'm going to push it till 20K, but the reality is my customer experience is more important.
Mm. And I mean, to someone out there who's thinking about putting an event together, I mean, what are the, I don't know, four or two important things that they need to make sure that they've got in the bag?
Look, I always tell people to start small. Get your friends to pay for entrance first. And then from there on, I get the usual things, the legal stuff proper. I mean, if you start small, you won't even need it. You'll realize that you need it as you grow. So start small, but think big and plan, you know, and plan for these things, because it grows really quickly. I mean, it was just yesterday. It was just people I know. Now it's all these people from all over South Africa, and we're here now, you know. So the planning is very important, because you can't execute anything if you don't have a plan, you know. And I think, as well as the business acumen as well, do the numbers, because it's very hard. Sponsors are far and few to come by, and a lot of money comes out of the pocket. And if you don't do the numbers, you'd have a very hard new year if you were me.
Well, Cooler Boxing Day is an event for the community, in the community. So as a business, what I want to ask is, what have you guys done to give back to the community? Or what have you guys done to empower, you know, people around the community? Is there a business element to it where you young people can develop skills through working with you or so forth?
First of all, we support a couple of local charities yearly, one of them being 100 Plus Movement, which does a lot of different things. I know now during the Christmas area, they're buying groceries for underprivileged families and charities. What else we've done is we employ local as well. So on the day, we employ about 150 youth that are from the area. And leading up, we employ about 20 towards the event.
Sure, that's amazing.
Yeah? It is amazing.
Yeah, talk about impacting the fiscal of the country, 150. And I mean, what would your then general feel be when you see 150 young people going back home with a little something, yana, you know?
Mm. It's heartwarming, yeah? It's very heartwarming. You realize that, you know, it's not about me or you, you know, it's not about having Casper on the lineup. It's about that more than anything.
Yeah, because that's the real stuff. George, do you get up to any community development or youth empowerment or mentorship programs?
I believe it or not, I've been looking for some of them. I usually donate the church. I go around places. But, I mean, today I was actually finding a friend of mine, Jackson, gave me a number. And I was just finding this place to try and see if I can donate and stuff. You know, I do that every end of the year. But, it's quite hard, actually, in a way to, you know, find. I want to go on a website and see where can I. But, so if you know any places, I mean, I'm actually looking for a place right today. So that's so good. I actually like to talk to you, because I actually found this place twice. And it was actually, the phone just rang, you know. And it's also sometimes, like I said, you know, I used to go to church and donate money. But every time I give it there, it feels like I'm not getting in the right places. It's quite weird, but anyway, so we'd like to really to find that place where I know. I mean, I've gone to so many places that I have done it, but it would be nice if you guys could give me a bit of hand and help me out.
Definitely. We will definitely talk after the show.
No, cool. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, nice. Everyone wants to lend a hand and impact people's lives. It's always very powerful. So my question then, George, would be, I mean, how big is the venue? What are some of the features that people can expect when they come out to your establishment?
Look, Nish, like I said, very comfortable. So if you want to go out and you're looking for a place, you definitely got to come to Nish. And then, it's very relaxing. Like I said, you know, you can have something to eat, have drinks, good conversation. You don't have to feel like you have to move or dance or you have to dress up. I think Nish is very casual. It does look, you know, from the outside, very, you know, snazzy. But once you walk in, you're very comfortable, you know, from the service, from the people are there. So, yeah, and then New Year's Eve, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people like, oh, we've done all these parties at home. Let's go out. Where can we go? So I think you should definitely try us out. I mean, Nish is full of ladies on New Year's Eve. I think it's a place of safety, you know. They're not going to get tramped over, and it's just comfortable, you know. But, every New Year's Eve, I look around and say, where are the guys? But ladies are having a good time. I mean, actually enjoying. It's not that they're really looking for someone to, you know. They pop their own bottles, you know. And that's the ladies that
that's my crew. You probably saw my crew.
No, but I think what the guys are trying to iterate is that strong, beautiful women are the main reason why tickle sales go up. They are the attraction.
It's fine, you know. We will fill up all those places.
So Tebatso, man, do you feel like corporate South Africa is playing their part? I mean, the township as a whole. The township as a whole is a very big landscape where big brands are making money out of that space, whether be it SAB or whatever, apart from your particular event. And such events which bring the community together, which have a bottom line where you're able to impact 150 young people, that's big for me, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the most that any large corporate does in any given case, you know. Do you feel like they're jumping on board, or is there some stagnance in them taking part?
Look, like corporate South Africa is very tricky. When they want to come on to a small guy like us, they want to enhance their terms, you know. So a lot of the time you turn it away because of you. Is it, will this make the brand better, or will this affect the brand in a different way, you know? I remember years ago one of them wanted us to cut cooler boxes, and I wasn't willing to do it because I knew my market. They come in with their cooler boxes and then they go to the bar anyway. So if we cut them totally, it will cut their experience of that. They enjoy that. They enjoy coming in carrying or pushing a dustbin even.
Yeah.
You know? So they want to implement their brand on you, and they want to push their brand. So I don't think they're doing enough. I think they must come back down and sit down and say, guys, we have this and this. How can we help you? And then you give them terms, and then you come back to terms. Now they say, we're here. Here are the terms. Are you on or not?
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
I think that's very good as a business person to actually also put your foot down, because that is also your brand that you're trying to build, and you can't you know, find a way out of it. You know, you can't say to a big corporate, or because I'm a small brand, you can actually trample all over me. So I think big ups to you to actually put your foot down. And even if it takes time for corporates to invest in entertainment, because it is an issue. And I remember Oskido even said it on Metro FM that corporates, they don't sponsor. You know, they don't invest in entertainment, and they'll never invest, you know. But obviously he was saying it out of anger. But I also feel that it's also about what can both companies benefit from each other. So it's not about a certain company sponsoring you, but then what can they get out of it as well. So it's about that mutually beneficial relationship that will come out of it eventually.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And I think just to the notes as well, I like that, because I think oftentimes we dilute the brand in trying to be a yes man, you know, saying yes to everything, and not every opportunity that comes to develop and grow your brand. I mean, I've seen a few, because I run a branding company, so we brand conferences and whatever, events and whatever. And you find it funny, the client calls you in to brand a event, and there's about 2% is their branding, the rest is Amstel everywhere. You understand that yeah. that loses from the strength of the brand. I mean, from the gates to rather from the fences to the security to the gates to the stage, everything says Amstel. And what I realized with that is that the next year when you want to start your marketing campaign, you need to pay 3-5 times more because you are pushing your brand and people still don't understand what the brand is. So to people it's still, oh, that Amstel thing.
Yeah, you that's understand? Amstel yeah.
And I mean, how important is that really, you know, for you to hear people saying, hey, that's that guy who the cooler boxing day.
Hey man, for me now, I try to hide. Because after that, it becomes, hey man, can I get a ticket? So, look man, it's important. And I think that people do recognize, in the area, people do recognize it a lot. But for now, I think even our marketing strategy is to try go out more, you know, in other provinces and to push the brand. If once a guy in Cape Town can say, that's the guy with Cooler Boxing Day, or that event is Cooler Boxing Day, I think we would have done our work. We would have done our work. You know, we trying to get to Coachella level and Never Never Land and all of that.
Mm. Nice. Mm-hmm. So, George, plans for the next 5 years? What does it look like for you?
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, take year by year, you know, and see how we can build the brand. But like I said earlier on, you know, I think it's very personal. I'm a Capricorn, so I think I'm one of those persons that's going to be.
Are you a Capricorn as well?
So, yeah, so it's hard in that kind of point of view, you know. But we'll see, you know.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you get the same impact? Like, do people come to you and say, okay, because I know George, I can have, you know, a free bottle?
Look, you know, like, you know, well, obviously they'll try and that, but at the end of the day, is, you know, I'm very free, but yeah, I always try to help people out there. So yeah, you know, it depends what mood they get me. So yeah, maybe yes or not. Because in those days, like, no, not today. Yeah.
You know, but then, I think you need to invest a mood ring. Invest in a mood ring.
A mood ring.
So when I step in there and I check the ring, I now know if I'm getting 4, 5, or 6 bottles. So Tibato, man, what does it look like for you and your team the next 5 years, man? Cooler Boxing Day.
Look, the next 5 years for us are quite big. I think we're going to go bigger and better, more on production side and, like I said, the experience of the event. I think we're going to keep the same venue, but it's about now marketing it further than we are right now and for longer than we are right now, you know?
Yeah. And then, I mean, in terms of the people that come, what's the demographic? Is it, I mean, you're 24-year-olds,
It's crazy, man. It's like anything from about like 18 to like I've seen a 40-year-old guy there, you know.
Yeah,
but what I can tell you is that in the general population area, you find the 18 to like 25-year-olds, and then the ones that have made it, you find them in the VIP.
Do you guys have a VIP?
Nah.
I've seen the trend of VIPs growing. So I've seen a VIP. We all know about it. I've seen a VVIP and I've seen a VVVIP.
No, that's so unnecessary, man.
Like, yeah?
Are you that important?
You know?
So for me, it's just a VIP and an artist area and nothing else.
Nah, man. Guys, we normally close the show off in style. 30 seconds of whatever's in your heart, whether it's to inspire the young entertainment mogul or whether it's just to wish people a Merry Christmas and a New Year, Happy New Year. It's entirely up to you. So the 30 seconds starts with you.
All right. Yeah. Look, for the youngsters, I mean, believe in yourself. Feel what inside says to do. Follow that all the time because that's like 100% plus one. And for those people traveling, have a good safe. Be around with people who love you. Be with your family. Enjoy it. And take care and help other people all the time. Yeah, nice one.
Mr. Tabato?
Well, for me, I'd like to say to the youngsters, an idea is an idea. Follow your dreams. Start small. Think big. Chase the dream. Don't take no for an answer. And yeah, that's that, man. And then Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to everybody. See you guys at Cooler Boxing Day.
Tseho.
I would say in the new year, aim to break doors of opportunities and let's stop knocking and just break them down.
Cool.
contact Balissa. Details.
Balissa?
Where gosh. Can our guests reach
That's
you?
That's our
guys?
Shy engineer.
Where can our guests reach you?
Yeah,
social niche. Media, contact details.
Yeah, it's Niche Hangout. Otherwise, you can give me a call straight on my cell 082-716-3490. But Facebook and Twitter is all Niche Hangout.
Okay. That's all?
Yeah, me, it's Cooler Boxing Day on all social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. You can email us at coolerboxingday@gmail.com. Or you can just give me a call at 073-942-6957.
No, man, that was amazing. Everyone, happy Christmas. Spend it with family. Spend it with people that matter the most to you. Enjoy the day. 26 Cooler Boxing Day, 31st or the 1st. Happy New Year. Have fun. Try and rest. Try and work. Do whatever makes you happy. God bless you. Bye.
360 Biz on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.